Welcome. We're glad you've chosen to listen to this message from what God is doing at Kingdom Faith Southwest. We pray you will receive the faith you need through hearing God's word.
Well, this morning, I'm actually starting a two-series messages on a subject which actually my clothing should give you an indication, a clue as to what I'm speaking on. And Pastor Andrea says it could be a pigeon. But it is not a pigeon, it's an eagle. And the Bible compares us as Christians to eagles, and I just want to unpack this a little bit. One of the things that we need to really live by constantly is how we see ourselves and what we believe about ourselves. Because however we see ourselves affects everything about us. How you see yourself and what you believe about yourself affects your emotional life. It affects your relationships, the way you relate to others. I know that there are many people with an inferiority complex that in relationships they don't think they're ever going to succeed. So they behave as though they're never quite going to reach the mark. They feel inferior all the time. And how you and I see ourselves is actually the key to a successful life. There are two extremes to this. Like I've already mentioned, some people say, well, I'm just a worm. I'm nothing. I'm no good. I'm nobody. The other extreme is this thinking that I'm absolutely a wonder and I just can't understand why everybody doesn't see how great and awesome I am. And so one of them is pride and the other is a false sense of humility or just basically inferiority. I'm nothing, I'm no good. And neither are right. There isn't anything right about both of those. Only God can give you the right self-image. And the only way to find out what the right self-image is to put on God glasses and to view your life through God's eyes. And the way we do that is through the Word of God. The Word of God gives us the right image about who we are and how we should think about ourselves. I mean, if I'm to say it as basically and fundamentally as this, what you think about yourself will determine your success as a Christian. If you're thinking wrong about you and who you are, then you will not act as a son of God in your life. But the truth is, if anyone has accepted Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, they are now a child of God through faith or a son of God through faith. And they have now become part of God's family. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 5:17 for our first scripture this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, the new has come. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are gone, the new has come. So if you're sitting next to a believer this morning, tell them the old you is gone. The new you is here. You see, this is speaking about the new birth, what the Bible says is happens to us when we receive Jesus. The old you was completely unacceptable to God. You were a sinner. You were actually locked up in bondage in the power of darkness. You were in the kingdom of darkness. But now, through faith in Jesus, you have become a new person completely. A Christian, listen very carefully, a Christian is not revamped. He is not brushed up and a little bit better than what he used to be. The old needed to be removed completely. It was that bad. And the new had to completely come, and it's that good. The new you is good. And everything about the new creation is of God. Because actually it's Christ in you, which is the hope of glory. He is now the image that we're to live by. Christ in us, the hope of glory. So if anyone, this scripture says, and that must mean anyone, is in Christ, who've received Jesus, he is a new creation. Old things have gone. For me, that's the best news I could ever hear. Because I could never improve myself enough to reach God's standard. But I didn't need to, because Jesus did it for me on the cross. He died and he rose again. And faith in Jesus has meant that now I am right with God. Not by self-effort, but by the gift of God, which is Jesus himself. So the new has come. Now the Bible, as I said earlier, compares a Christian to an eagle. And an eagle is a fascinating bird. It's a perfect flying machine. It's probably one of the best examples of flight that we will see in creation. It's able to sometimes fly up to 5 miles above the earth. It's been caught by jumbo jets at 39,000 feet because it got caught in an engine. So it flies high. It also is a great hunter. It has very effective weapons. It's got an incredible beak and amazingly powerful talons. The eagle is called a bird of light, which is very interesting when you compare it to a Christian. It doesn't do anything in the dark. And the scriptures are very clear about people who operate in deeds of darkness, in the unseen. And actually, the scriptures, whenever you read about owls or night owls or birds that operate at night, it's speaking about the occult. But an eagle is actually created to be operating in the light, in purity, and in the light of God. Because whoever operates in the light has fellowship with God. An eagle has incredible sight, incredible vision, can see from miles away its prey in a field. It also has the ability, as it's diving, as it's coming down, to get the prey. It sees so clearly, but then to protect its eyes, it actually has like a shutter, a membrane that comes over its eyes to come in for the kill, just in case the bush damages its eyes. It's a fascinating bird to study. It also is very a faithful bird. Eagles are unique in that they partner for life. They are birds of faithfulness, and actually they have an allegiance to their partner. They're also great parents. They look after their young in a way that is quite symbolic as to the way God tends and cares for his young and trains them and teaches them to grow up and to fly as intended. They're also created to endure harsh conditions. When all birds fly south, eagles stay. They fly south for warmer conditions. Eagles can endure cold. And so we see that there are many symbols of the new birth here. If anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. I mean, I could say that before you were saved, you were a turkey. Or you were grounded. in the dark. You couldn't see. You didn't have that ability to operate in the heavenlies. But now you are like an eagle. And I've just got this amazing picture about the baby eagles because I think it's funny. Aren't they just the funniest looking things ever? There they are. Born into this nest, into this family life. Now, what's interesting is the eagle, of course, is born in a high place. He starts life high up on a rock or on a mountain, and the nest is positioned in a place where it's beyond enemy, predatory life. So the enemy can't get to where the eagle is born. It's in a nest, safe in the rock. And now let's go back to the lovely parental one. And we see here this very beautiful picture of an eagle looking after its young with affection. And it's almost like God himself, who's in Scripture, one of the references in Scripture in Deuteronomy is that God himself is like an eagle that stirs up its nest. And it's almost like this picture of parenthood looking after this beautiful new life. And can I have the next slide? Here we have in a rock, the nest made in a rock. I'd like to keep that picture up just for a little while. When an eagle is born, we know that it didn't fly to get there. We know that it actually started life high. And this place is a place far above the enemy. And I'm going to read a scripture from Ephesians. Let's just turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. It says, verse 4, let's start at verse 4. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. God has raised us up with Christ. Now that's past tense. We have been raised up with Christ. So this is our position now in Christ. And seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Far above, actually, all dominion, all power, all enemy activity, all powers of this world, in Christ, in the highest place possible for anybody to be in. That's where you currently are. So you have been born again into a high place. You're already born into a place where you are above the enemy. Thank you, Jesus. So the enemy is under your influence. Even though you might be a baby Christian, everything that you have in you is already in you to become a king of the sky, which is one of the terminologies of an eagle. They're called kings of the sky. You are already inherently in Christ with the divine nature on the inside. Everything you need for life is in you. Christ is in you. And this scripture goes on to say, by grace you've been saved through faith. What does that mean? You did not put yourself there. It is the unearned favor and the undeserved blessing of God that through your active faith, you came into a position that you didn't earn. A position actually of royalty as a child of the King of Kings. You are highly valued. You are in the best place possible. And you are born into that place in the rock. Christ himself being the rock. And this is the starting position for us every day of our lives. We don't have to start earthbound. We need to start with our eyes fixed on the right position that we already are. We start life in a high place. So you're not working up to get to God. You are already in Christ. That position is life-changing. Because you don't earn it, you don't work for it, it is given. You're born into this position. Thank you, Jesus. This is an encouraging message, isn't it? An eagle Christian knows where it's born and knows where it belongs. It's the family home. It's actually the place from which you live. The nest is symbolic of a home for the eagle. And in Christ is your home. It's the place where you belong and where you are nourished and fed and nurtured to go out and succeed in life. Thank you, Jesus. It says, by grace you've been saved through faith. This is not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. We can't boast about being like eagles, but we are. That's it. We are already in that place in Christ Jesus. For we are God's workmanship or work of art, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. You are God's work. The new creation is God's work of art. And whilst we start life as a baby Christian, we are fed and nourished, but everything we need is already in us. So it doesn't matter how old you are as a Christian, whether you've been saved for 30 years or for 3 days. You have everything you need in you to become a king of the sky, to become like Christ in this world. Thank you, Father. Now, the baby obviously needs the right food, and God feeds us. If you turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 32. I'm born in a high place. I'm in a rock. In Christ. I'm above all. Seated in heavenly places. This is where I belong. This is where I was born to live. Thank you, Jesus. See, unless we get the right thinking about who we are, we will live like turkeys. And if you're living like a turkey, it's time to change your mind. Because if you're in Christ, this is you anyway. You've just got the wrong thinking. So if I were you, I'd get rid of it and think like the eagle and not the turkey. I think what's even worse is a chicken. A chicken can only see just here. Talk about lack of vision. It just goes boop, boop, boop. That's it. It doesn't know if trouble's coming. It doesn't know if anything's going to go wrong. Can't see an enemy approaching. It's just beep, beep, beep. And you know, if you're a Christian doing beep, change your vision. Change your mind first. Get the thinking right, and you will start to live by faith in who you are. Because this is who you are. You have been raised in Christ and are now seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. If you're seated, it means you're resting in Christ. Sorry, I'm going to have to say this. You're resting in the nest. We need to rest in the nest. But in this place, we are fed in Christ. And we need spiritual food. And in Deuteronomy, I won't go through it all because it's all fantastic. But in verse 12, actually, the second part of verse 13, the second part of verse 13 says, if you get to the bit where he nourished him, can you see that? He nourished him with honey from the rock and with oil from the flinty crag. He nourished him with honey from the rock and oil from the flinty crag. We see here that God himself is nourishing his people. And he feeds them with honey. Now, if you think about honey, it's sweet. Honey tastes good. And Jesus and his word tastes good. And God feeds us and nourishes us with his word. The apostle Paul, when he speaks about becoming a Christian and living and growing up in Christ, we need the milk of the word. We need milk. We need honey. We need nourishment to grow up into all things in Christ. So you cannot be what you're called to be without the word nourishing you consistently. Now, as a human being, naturally, you have been created to feed on good food so that you sustain your physical life. Yes, we can endure fasting, and we're called to fast as believers, but you never go beyond 40 days, and they are unique fasting times. But naturally, you are created to have good meals every day. We usually have, what, 3 meals a day and a little bit of snacking in between. But we nourish our bodies. And God himself feeds us with honey, with the sweet things of his word. Now his word needs to be your delight so that you understand it's a sweet thing to receive the life of God through his word. His word nourishes you and feeds you. And oil speaks of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the power and the ability and the presence of God in your life. So the Word and the Spirit at work together to actually bring the grace and the power of God into your heart and life nourishes you and feeds you. If we are not nourished, we will not ever get out of the nest and fly. You haven't been created to spend 30 years here, or even 5. You've been created to fly as a king of the sky. All that God has called you to be, God wants you to live in, so that we grow up and are nurtured in our faith, walk, and life. So this king of the sky, although it looks quite funny when it's born, eventually will become an amazing hunter, an amazing creature which is superior to all other birds in the bird kingdom. And I just believe so much in the nourishing and feeding of the individual's walk with God. That if you nourish yourself daily in the Word, that you experience the presence of God through prayer, you will grow. There's a time where other people feed us, and this is partly what is happening this morning. But actually, God himself wants to nourish you and strengthen you personally in your own relationship with him and his word. Now, I'm sure you know where I'm going to go next. It's Isaiah chapter 40, to a famous eagle scripture. Verse 28, we'll start there. Do you not know, have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary. He increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and those and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord or wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They will mount up on wings like eagles, or soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Those who wait on the Lord shall, that's a definite, not might, renew their strength. They will mount up on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. What an incredible promise. They will walk and not faint. To wait on the Lord does not mean to do nothing. You know, I could be standing here like this. That's not what the scripture means. It's not to wait and do nothing. It means to wait on expecting God to give you something. So if I'm sitting down in a restaurant and waiting for a meal to come, I am expecting food. But if I sit on a park bench expecting nothing, I will get nothing. So I put myself into the right place to get fed. So I get myself alone with God, and I sit down with the word and start to pray. And I say, Lord, I want you to strengthen me. I need your strength in me. Come and strengthen me and come and feed me. And I will apply myself to pray and to read the word and to allow your word to transform me. Now, to wait on him, the Hebrew means to be bound together as twisting by a rope. So it's almost like the strands of me and God. So I'm one strand, he's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. When I wait on him, it's like my life receives his strength like a rope. And that strength then gives me the power I need to win. Because God's strength in everything wins everything. Now, you have been created a new person. But this new person is created primarily for fellowship with God. That is your first ministry. And that is to Jesus alone. Without this waiting on him, it doesn't mean waiting on the pastor, it doesn't mean waiting on a worship CD. It's learning to wait and allow his life to infuse into yours. Then you will be strong. I know that part of our ministry as leaders is to minister strength to people here in this context, but also one-on-one. But I also know that we are not called to do the job that you are called to do. And that is to have your own relationship with God being strengthened every day through his presence and his word. To be feeding on the honey of Jesus and his word, and to be receiving from his presence. But when we do, divine life infuses us as people. We receive an exchange. There are times when whatever we are going through in life becomes difficult to handle or stresses us out. We need to go to God and give it to him and allow him to give us his solution or his power to strengthen us to overcome. Jesus said, didn't he, abide in me and my word abide in you. So there's this abiding exchange of life, an infusion of his word. Now when we consider that his word created the heavens and the earth, we then understand that his word is living and powerful and can change us from the inside out. But the transformation must come, take place first in your own spirit, in your own time with God. So there is this, those who wait on the Lord become strong. They increase their strength. I thank God there is a place for all of us to go to increase strength. You don't have to go through life tired. You don't have to go through life weary. You don't have to go through life running around exhausted. Thank you, Jesus. You can wait on the Lord and He will renew your strength. You'll become stronger. And then the scripture says you will mount up on wings like eagles. That word mount up means to go up higher, to lift up, and to increase. So, waiting on God increases your strength and enables you to go higher in God. Thank you, Jesus. Now this word mount is speaking of like being lifted without self-effort. A bit like a horse and its rider. If you want to go riding on a horse, you need to mount up first. You take that step to get onto the horse. But the horse is the power behind where you're going. Now, we are called as Christians not to live by our own power, but by divine power. We're to allow the Holy Spirit to empower us to live each day. Now, the thing about the eagle, and what the scripture is really speaking about here, is the eagle doesn't flap. This word does not tell us to flap up higher. Come on, church, it's time to flap. It's speaking of an unseen power lifting when those who wait on the Lord have received strength, have had that intertwining and divine exchange. There is the power of God comes in. Now, the eagle starts the day up in a high place, near the nest or in the rocky crag, and all the other birds, even before the sun rises, especially this time of year, start to tweet and flap. And they wake up early and they use a lot of energy flying around all over the place. But the eagle does not do anything at all. The king of the sky just sits up on the rock and waits. And hour goes by, an hour goes by, probably 3 hours. The eagle does nothing. All the birds down there are flap, getting around, their business, doing life, wearing themselves out, getting tired. The eagle's waiting. What is he waiting for? He's waiting for the sun to warm the earth. Because when the sun warms the earth, it creates thermal currents that rise. And when the thermal currents rise, he finds just the right time, which is usually about mid-morning, where he decides to fly. But the way he flies is not like the flappers. He jumps from the rock or the nest, beats his amazing, powerful wings once, twice, maybe three times, and catches the current, the thermal current, takes him up, and he goes higher. I mean, what a picture. Those who wait on the Lord and don't flap around in self-effort shall renew their strength. They will mount up on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. You see, you can go higher, further, and longer than an ordinary person. Isn't that amazing? In Christ, if you are using your relationship with God in the right way, if you're using the thermal currents, the life of the Spirit, being led by the Spirit, walking in obedience to the Lord, Not rushing around in decision making. Not running around with your own plans and asking God to bless them. Life of self-effort. But if you're waiting on Him for your solutions, you're saying, Lord, I need your presence to empower me through this time. And as He leads you, the jump out of the rock, the jump out from the nest is actually a jump of faith, led by the Spirit, but it's a leap of faith. The Holy Spirit's going to carry me through this time. I'm going to soar in the Spirit today, not flap in the flesh. See, there are so many Christians that live flapping while they've got the power and the ability to soar. But they're not tapping into His power in their lives. They're just doing life in their own strength. They're doing life the way they've always done it, without reference to the Lord and waiting on the Lord. Yes, some of us need Him to warm us up a bit so that we actually allow His life to get us excited about being saved. Some of us are just weary with what we've been going through, tired because life seems to be just endless things to do. There is a place you must go, and that is in the rock, in Christ, and feed on the honey that He supplies. Receive from His presence, and you will mount up on wings like eagles. The flappers, the birds of the earth, come to the end of the day tired. An eagle can sit up there hours and hours on end, just using the currents to get around, not allowing anything to bother him. The eagle will even use the storms to go higher. I'll talk about that later. But it actually has the ability to use storms for its own height. Come on. And so we are created in Christ Jesus. The old has gone. The new has come. If anyone's in Christ, he is a new creature. You have been raised in Christ. You're seated in heavenly places. But don't spend your life reacting. And don't spend your life flapping. As soon as you find yourself flapping, go back to waiting on the Lord. This last week I was, you know, we're going through such a faith walk as a church with our building. And it seems that nothing's coming back to us that is positive about this particular building we were looking at. And I can get bothered about it because I suppose I'm leading you. And we as a leadership, we are, you know, like, oh, we're doing all we can do. And I went to the Lord this week and I said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? We keep praying it. We keep praying, fasting. We keep crying out to the Lord. What can we do? And I just opened my Bible to Matthew 6. Do not worry about your life. Don't worry about your life. Stop flapping. And basically it was like, why are you flapping, Judith? Stop it. Trust me. And you know, when you trust in God, you're soaring. When you're worried, you're flapping. There's a huge difference. One is the flesh, the other is the power of the Holy Spirit. Whatever you are worried about now, you need to receive something from God. To wait on the Lord and receive His strength. Receive His word. So that you come to a place where you're strong on the inside. And able to mount up on wings like eagles. I mean, straight away I said, oh Lord, you're right. Praise God, life's easy when you're trusting Him. When you trust God, it's easy. When you're working at it, it gets harder and harder by the day. So we, as Christians, have this incredible picture of who we are in Christ. You are magnificent in Christ. You're a work of art. You're in a high place. And you are in relationship with God himself, who wants to feed you with honey and oil, so that the anointing and the word of God strengthen you. So that when you are led by the Spirit to jump out into life, into that situation again, that situation is not going to get you flapping anymore. You are going to mount up on wings like eagles. We need to think like an eagle. Understand their place of relationship with Jesus. And begin to mount up. And allow the Holy Spirit to empower us to live. Because it's not by might, guys. It's not by power. But it's by the Holy Spirit. Let's stand.
This completes the message. Thank you for listening. If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186 or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.